Molten stone and chunks of burning flesh flew over his head and ours, and I realized that I had underestimated the fury of my weapons. Perhaps fatally. It was definitely a mistake to have committed so many. Swan stumbled over Min Subredil's ankle. Somehow, when he hit the cobblestones, he found himself face to face with the drooling idiot, who had a dagger's point neatly positioned under his chin. "Don't even breathe," she whispered. Fireballs hitting the palace wall melted their way right in. The wooden gateway was on fire. There was plenty of light by which our brothers could see a signal that we had gotten our man. Fire became more accurate. The resistance to the Greys coming to help became less porous. A second apparent attack came forward. A couple of those brothers collected Swan. They kicked and cursed us, and took our weapons with them when they went away. Part of a general retreat as the attack wave fled from no evident resistance. As they disappeared into the darkness, the thing that we had feared most occurred. Soulcatcher came out on the battlements above to see what was happening. Subredil and I knew because all fighting ceased within seconds once somebody spotted her. Then a storm of fireballs flashed her way. We were lucky. She was sufficiently unprepared that she could do nothing but duck. Our brothers then did what they were supposed to do. They got the heck out of there. They got downhill and lost amongst the population before the Protector could release her bats and crows. It was my belief that the activity would have all the nearby parts of the city in an uproar within minutes. The men were supposed to help that along by launching absurd rumors if they remained calm enough. Subredil and Sawa moved 24 yards closer to the servant's postern. We had just settled down to drool and be held and whimper while we watched the corpses burn, when a frightened voice demanded,
"Min Subredil, what are you doing here?"
Jol Barundandi, our boss. I did not look up, and Subredil did not respond until Barundandi stirred her with a toe and asked again, not unkindly. She told him,
"We were going to be here early. Sawa needs to work bad."
She looked around.
"Where are the others?"
There had been others, 4 or 5 even more eager to be first in line. They had fled. That might mean trouble. No telling what they might have seen before they ran. An early stray fireball was supposed to have panicked and scattered them before Swan got to us, but I could not recall that having happened. Subredil turned more toward Barundandi. I held on to her tighter and whimpered. She patted my shoulder and murmured, something indistinct. Barundandi seemed to buy it, particularly when Subredil discovered that one of her Gangisha's trunks had broken off, and she began to cry and search our surroundings. Several of Barundandi's associates were out as well, looking around, asking one another what happened. The same thing was going on at the main entrance, where stunned guards and sleep-fuddled functionaries asked one another what had happened, and what they should do, and, holy shit! Some of those fires burned all the way through the wall, and it was 6 or 8 feet thick. Shadar, from as far as a mile away, were arriving, gathering dead and wounded Greys, and also trying to figure out what had happened.